This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
We're going to be reading a scripture from chapter 1, and then we'll basically be in chapter 1 and chapter 2 for this message. Colossians chapter 1. I'd like you to stand now for the reading of God's Word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Paul the Apostle, speaking to the Colossians, letting them know who's praying for them. "I've been praying for all of you. And my prayer is that God will fill you with the knowledge of His will, that God will fill you with everything that He has for you and for your life. I believe that's God's desire for you." We've talked throughout this month so far about this is where we start. We start at this not just a concept, but this reality that God has envisioned a full life for you. And we believe that that full life is experienced and becomes a reality in your life as you honor the King. We talked about that in the first Sunday in May. As you put Jesus first, it's all about Him. He's the head. He's the foundation of the church. He's the truth, right? He's the way. He's the life. It's all about Him. As you honor the King, as you experience your next step, and as you influence your world. Today, we're going to focus on that second part, which is experiencing your next step. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence that we experience here. It's so rich, it's so real. Lord, I pray that you will draw all of us, no matter where we are in our relationship with you, closer to you today. And I pray that you will fill us to the top with nothing lacking for the life that you've called us to live even this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, one of my goals is to get to know you as your new pastor. I think that's really, really important. And also, one of my goals is for you to get to know me a little bit better, whether you want to or not, you know. I want us to get to know each other. I want to build relationships with you. And so I thought this morning that I would start out just by sharing some flattering pictures of myself, just so that you can see, you know, kind of what I looked like when I was a kid. Let's see if this will work. If not, you can help me out from the back. All right. Can you just take it from there? Thanks a lot. That's kind of where it all began for me, right there. Pretty happy. I had no idea what I looked like, but I was pretty happy. Hadn't experienced a mirror yet. Then as I get a little older, you see the progression there, that it was hang out with Dad. My dad's super cool, all right? And I don't know if I was hitting puberty really young and had to start shaving early. I don't know what it was, but we hung out a lot. As I got a little older, did the school picture thing, and as I look back at that picture, I'm like, that kid's kind of cute. My mom must have plastered my hair down so it'd stay down. And I'm like, how did I get in trouble so much in school? I don't even know. But obviously I did. And then my my basketball career began. It ended shortly after, but I have no idea why they had us wear those. They're trying to be like Larry Bird or something. I don't know, but it wasn't good. We can hit that next one there. Lacey and I started dating at a really young age. I don't know why I wasn't smiling in the picture. I was definitely smiling on the inside, though. There's no doubt. And then I think the last one is just our wedding picture. And if you're like, that's kind of a hazy, unfocused picture, that's because it's so long ago. Like, we're lucky to have a little color in there, if you know what I mean. When people come to our house and they see this picture, some people have taken a picture of it and posted it on Facebook to make fun of us. That's fine. I'm so blessed you guys were able to experience Lacey's message last week. I've still been thinking about it throughout this week, and it so challenged me. I'm so blessed in so many ways. Most of the time when people come to our house and they make fun of this picture, the one thing they're making fun of is my hair in that picture. And they're like, "Keith, what is up?" And here's the deal with the hair on that picture. When we got married, I didn't have a lot of money. And so I went to the cheapest place in town to get my hair cut. And I probably shouldn't have done that, but I did. So there it is. There's our pictures. Now, the reason why I show those to you is because you realize that when I was a little baby, okay, I just saw someone taking a picture of those pictures. That's not cool. Wow. I didn't see that coming. You'll notice that as a baby with the messed up hair, I wasn't proposing to Lacey. That there was a process, a progression that took place before I got to that point. And right now we have babies that are in the nursery. And even though God has created these babies to worship Him, and God has created these babies to be loved and to love and to come to know the love of God, and God has created them to, maybe in the future, if it's His will, to be married and have kids, He's created them to serve God and to serve in the church, and He's created them to make a difference in this world. He's created them for all of these things. But the reality is, they're not experiencing any of that right now. I seriously doubt in the nursery there are any babies that have just like picked up the guitar and they're playing worship songs. It's probably not happening. They're not signing up to be an usher right now. They're just hoping their diaper stays on. That's where they are in life. But even though God's created them for all these awesome things, they're not experiencing any of it. We get that. What's needed is a process of next steps, of them being fed, of them being held, of them being cared for, of them being taught things about life and things about God, of them beginning to make choices on their own, of them stepping forward and sometimes falling but getting back up, of them serving God and of them making a difference in the world. That is God's design, but it is a process, right, of next steps that gets them to that point. God has next steps for us. And that is how we grow, and that is how we experience everything God has envisioned for our life. He wants us to go on a process of coming to faith in Christ, and many of you here have done that. Some of you are in that process right now of coming to faith in Christ, and then the process of growing in the faith. Please don't stop here. God's desire is for you to continue to move forward, to faith forward, the process of experiencing everything that God has envisioned for your life. Now, if we're honest, most of us would say we're not necessarily experiencing all of that. We haven't necessarily arrived. We haven't necessarily had everything that God wants to have happen in our life yet. And I want you to know it's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit that you might not have it all together. It's okay to admit if you have a struggle in your marriage. It's okay to say that and to share that with someone that's trusted in your life. I mean, I want you to look at the person that's sitting beside you, and I want you just to think this thought, but don't tell them you're thinking it. But just think this thought, man, they've got issues. Now, don't tell them you're thinking that. But that's the truth, right? Every single one of us have issues. Every single one of us. And it's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit that sometimes you don't feel like you measure up, that you have what it takes. It's okay to admit that there are times when you're not necessarily living out everything that God wants you to live out. Now, while I say it's okay to admit that, it's okay to even think that, I don't want you to think this, because it's not okay. And that is, it's not okay to believe it's not possible. It's not possible, you might think, to live out all that God has for me. And I want you to know that that is a false belief, that is an unhealthy thought racing through your mind. There's a quote that we have up in our house. I look at it from time to time. It's by Brennan Manning, and it says this: to be alive is to be broken. To be broken is to stand in the need of God's grace. It's okay to think, well, I'm not there yet where God wants me to be, but it's not okay to believe it's not possible. Why? Because there is a fundamental reality in Scripture, which is based on what Jesus said of why He came. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And that is God's desire for each and every one of you. That's God's desire for your marriage, for your family, for your future, that you would have life and that you would have it to the fullest. And one of my commitments to you as your pastor is to challenge you. is to challenge you to experience the more. It's to challenge you to not settle with where you've been maybe for 2 weeks or 5 years, but to continue to grow, continue to move forward, continue to experience more of what God has for you. I'm going to challenge you to experience even more of the transforming power of the gospel in your life, even more than you already have. No matter if you've been serving the Lord for 30 years or 1 year, I'm telling you, there's more that God has for you and in your life, and I want you to experience it. Our opening text this morning was from the letter to the Colossians that Paul the Apostle wrote. And we read verse 9 and 10 where Paul is just saying, I'm praying for you. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And you have to understand that this letter was written to a group of people that had become believers, but they lived in a city that was pretty well known. There were a lot of travelers that were coming through. There were a lot of trade routes coming right through there. And so with that, they were also being inundated with a lot of different worldviews and a lot of different beliefs that were just continually circulating through that city. And because of that, these new believers, even though they had come to faith in Christ, they were finding themselves a bit distracted and sometimes a bit confused because of all the different beliefs that were swirling around their city. And it was to this city, this church, that Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians. Now, it's interesting that Paul had somewhat of a similar pattern as he wrote various letters in the New Testament. And Colossians is a case in point in that he started with what God has done through Christ Jesus for us. That's what he started with. He loved to start with that. This is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus has made possible. And he many times would throw in a lot of promises. We're going to get into that this morning. This is what God makes available to you all through the sacrificial work on the cross. And just unloads it. Here it is. This is all that you get. This is everything. This is God's work in your life. This is what's possible in your life. And then after that, he starts into how we should live because of what Christ has accomplished. And I love that pattern. Because often we try to live and just do our best and try to make it happen, just trying to earn our salvation. But Paul wrote often in his letters to give us the example of this, and that is the difference between living for salvation and living from salvation. And there is a vast difference there. And Paul the Apostle wanted the believers there and us as well to understand that 100% of the time, we need to be soaking in what God has already accomplished before we head out and try to do something great for God. This is what God has done. Because of what God has done, because of his promises in my life, then I can live a holy life. Then I can treat my spouse with love. Then I can walk in purity. Not because of my own ability or my own morality, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Look at verse 21 of chapter 1 in Colossians. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. And some of you might think, well, that wasn't me. I was a pretty nice guy before salvation. I'm a pretty nice guy now. Come on, no way. Even on our best of the best days, this is us. Alienated from God. Enemies of God because of our evil behavior. But then, look what happens. But now, Jesus has reconciled you, or God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. This is something we could never have done on our own, but God accomplished it through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be holy, blameless, and without accusation. That right there is huge and blows our minds. God has given us salvation, but in that salvation, it's not just salvation from our sins, it's salvation from everything. Salvation from the past. Salvation from our former selves. Salvation so that we can live out salvation. So we can live out the gospel with those around us. Colossians chapter 1 lists several promises that he gives. And I want to just go through this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, but I want to just go through here so that you can see these and see how powerful this is. These promises that you receive by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, filled with the knowledge of his will. How many of you would like to know what God's will is for your life? And God is saying, by faith, you receive knowledge of his will. Number 2, verse 10, you can live life worthy of the Lord. This is living a life that aligns with the word of God. It's living a life that reflects the character of God. Consistently. Not just on Mondays, but consistently, living out the character of God. When people see you, they're just like, wow, that's a great guy. They're like, wow, there's something different about that person. Living a life that's worthy of the Lord. Number three, please him in every way. Please him in every, I'm like, really? Please God in every single way and every day? Please him in every way. Number four, this promise that we can bear fruit in every good work. How many of you, when you're praying for your kids, you're just hoping it's going to make a difference, right? You're doing something for someone else, and you just hope that it impacts them. And the scriptural promise is that we can bear fruit in every good work. In every good work. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. These words are key in the Greek. Every. All. These are in there. Meaning everything. And meaning all. Being strengthened with all power. Having all of God's power downloaded into our life according to his power. Number six, have all endurance and patience to where we never have to give up. We can just keep going. It's like we have everything that we need to keep going no matter what, no matter what we face. Verse 2 of chapter 2 says that we can receive the full riches of complete understanding. The full riches of complete understanding. Often we walk around somewhat clueless, right? And we're like, I don't know what I should do here. I don't. And God is saying, no, I'm giving you full riches of complete understanding. And then let's skip to verse 9 and 10. This promise is huge. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. We get that, right? Jesus is God. Then he goes on to say, and in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. You have been brought to completeness. The scripture is not talking about a glass that is half empty. This is literally to the top and over and above. Where you're wanting nothing, nothing lacking, just over and above. And Paul uses the same Greek word in Colossians 1:9, which we started with, and then all the way to Colossians 2:10, the same word of being filled. And it's almost like these are bookends to all the promises that are in between that we just listed. You are filled. Filled with what? Well, knowledge of his will. Being strengthened with all might. Bearing fruit in every good work. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We can think these are exaggerated impossibilities for our life. I'm here to tell you that the word of God is true, and this is what God has accomplished for every single one of us. So the question is, are you there yet? Are you experiencing all of this where you lack nothing, where everything that you do for the kingdom is making a difference, where you're strengthened with all might, never lacking, where you're continually enduring and you have 100% patience with everyone 100% of the time? And it seems like, what? How is that even possible to live at that level? Some of us, if we're honest, would say, I'm not living like that. Some of us might say, I'm not yet living like that. And some of us might say, not all the time. Okay? And maybe 6 out of 7 days on a good week, right? You're living at that level. So how do you experience what God has called us to experience, what God has made possible for us to experience? It's by taking your next step. It's by taking your next step. How do we experience the full life that God has envisioned for us? It's not by jumping from here to there. It's by taking our next step. In our society, we want things to happen so quick. We want to do a Google search, boom, done. We want it to happen so quick, but how do we get from point A to point B? We don't just jump there. It's by taking your next step. You don't get to second grade until you finish first grade. When I was in middle school, I was so glad to be out of elementary school, but I was thinking, man, if I can only get to high school. But I couldn't get to high school yet until I went through the worst stage of everybody's life, middle school, right? And I had to finish 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in order to get into high school. We get that. There are stages that we go through. A baby stage to get all the way to the place where they're completely surrendering their life as an adult to God. Next steps that get you there. Spiritually speaking, the next steps that take you from point A to point B. The process of moving forward. Sometimes we want to just wake up and our marriage is perfect. Or we want to wake up and we are as close to God as Moses was. And I'm telling you, it doesn't normally work like that. It is taking your next step, pursuing him, moving closer to him, doing what needs to be done, believing what he has said, taking that act of faith and act of obedience as you move closer to him. I believe this story illustrates what we're talking about this morning. In 1908, newly commissioned missionaries, John and Jesse Perkins, were on board a steamship rounding the coast of Liberia. They knew God had called them to Africa, but like Abraham, they didn't know exactly where God wanted them to go. So they purchased tickets and just trusted that God would tell them where to go. As the ship made its way around Garraway Point, they began to sense that the Holy Spirit was prompting them to get off the ship. Now, unknown to the Perkinses, there was a young man living in the region named Jasper Toe. He was a God-fearing man who practiced the religious rituals passed down by his ancestors, but he had never heard the name of Jesus. One night, he looked into the night sky and he prayed this specific prayer: "If there is a God in heaven, help me find you." As Jasper stood under the stars, a voice he had never heard before spoke to him. Here's what the voice said: "Go to Garraway Beach. You will see a box on the water with smoke coming out of it. And from that box on the water will come some people in a small box. These people in the small box will tell you how to find me." Jasper Toa traveled 7 days on foot to Garraway Beach, arriving on Christmas Day, 1908. From the shore, he saw a black box, a steamship, floating on the water with smoke coming out of it. And that is when John Perkins and his wife sensed the Holy Spirit saying to them in that moment, "Get off the ship here. This is where I want you to go." When they went to the captain of the ship and asked him to let them get off, he said, "I can't let you off of the boat right here. This is cannibal country. People go in, people do not come out." John Perkins insisted, "God wants us to get off the boat." So the captain brought the steamship to a halt, and the Perkins were placed in a special chair that swung them over the side of the ship, and they got into a canoe along with all their earthly belongings, and they rowed to the shore in this little box. When they got to the shore, guess who was waiting for them? Jasper Toe. He was waiting to welcome them, and he motioned for them to follow him, which they did, all the way back to his village. They eventually learned the language of the people there. They started the first church in that village, and Jasper Toe was their first convert. Now, those who knew Jasper Toe described him as one of the most godly men they had ever met. And his legacy is the hundreds of churches he helped to establish in the country of Liberia. Wow. Wow. I'm so inspired by that story, but I'm also forced to ask the question, what if? What if John Perkins had never boarded the ship? What if John and his wife had never packed their bags? What if John, in an altar call, never said yes to the call of God? What if John had not been spending time in God's Word? What if John had not been discipled by another believer? What if John had never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? What if John had never been invited to church? You see, there were a series of next steps that took John Perkins and his wife from where they were to where they needed to be. Here's what I've learned. The right step in the right direction leads you to the right place. The right step, if you're going in the right direction, will lead you to the right place. Maybe all the way to an African beach. There are a couple terms or realities in Scripture that I believe are next step realities. And they're the terms maturity and growth. You see them throughout the New Testament, maturity and growth. One of the places we find that is in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, where the writer says, "Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity." Other translations talk like this: press on toward maturity or become maturity. It's this word which means something that's being brought to its end. It's coming to a place of completeness, coming to a place of perfection. It's maturity. It's next step that gets you to that place. We see this word in the Gospels. In the book of Matthew, where Jesus was approached by a young man who wanted to know what his next step was. And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, there's that word, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. This young man often is referred to as the rich young ruler, a man who, by his own admission, had done some of the right things, had taken some of the right steps, that someone that most likely loved God. He wanted to know how to be right with God. He wanted to know how to do more for God. He wanted to know what his next steps were, and Jesus looked at him because Jesus knows what his next step was needing to be, and Jesus knows what your next step is going to need to be. And it's not necessarily the same as everybody else, but for this man, what his next step was, okay, I see, yes, go sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and come follow me. That was his next step. That was his next step. If he wanted to be mature, if he wanted to be complete in Christ, if he wanted to experience everything that God had for him, he had to take some of those next steps in his life. We see maturity. We see the term grow. Have you ever, or growth, have you ever had someone tell you to grow up? Okay? You know, if you're like 50 and they're like, grow up, you know, you're like, man, I must have missed something. But I heard that a lot when I was a kid. Grow up. You need to grow up. And it's actually a scriptural term where even in 1 Peter it says that we are to grow up in our salvation. He's talking to people that are already saved. But he's saying you need to grow up in your salvation. You need to learn more, grow more, understand more, experience more of the gospel in your life. And that's where all of us are at, where we need more. Growth in our faith. Scripture talks about growth in the knowledge of God. Growth in becoming who he wants us to be. Ephesians. And then Ephesians 4:13, this will continue. What will continue? Taking the right step in the right direction, getting you to the right place. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. There you see it again. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The words of Scripture calling us forward. The words of Scripture calling us closer. Words of Scripture calling us out of the ordinary into the extraordinary, into all that God has for us. Taking those next steps, the right step in the right direction, getting you to the right place. And so I have to ask you this morning, what is your next step? What is your next step? If you're here today and you have some doubts about the claims of Christ, I hope you don't stay there. I hope you take a next step and try to find out. Maybe ask some questions. Maybe do some research. Find out if he really is the Son of God. If you're struggling in your marriage, I hope that you don't just stay there. I hope you don't just stay there. I hope you take your next step, whatever that might be, of coming together in unity, maybe of forgiving, of having that conversation. It's a difficulty in a relationship. What is your next step? Don't just stay there. If you feel like you're at the same place in your walk with Jesus, don't just stay there. What is your next step? Last week, Lacey preached a powerful message about taking the invitations of the King and then following it, receiving them, and then going after it. And many of us wrote down on that card what God was calling us to. What were we writing down? Our next step. Maybe it was spending time with him more this week. Maybe it was getting up a little bit earlier. Maybe it was talking to that person. I don't know what was on your card. Maybe it was trusting him more. I don't know what was on your card. But what is that? His next step. Maybe God has put a dream on your heart to do something, to start something. I hope you're not just going to stay there. I hope that dream won't just stay in your journal. I hope that you'll begin to take your next steps. The right step in the right direction will get you to the right place. This morning, I'm so pumped about this. We have two young adults that have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And this morning, they are making public confession of their faith in Jesus. And we get to experience that with them this morning. Two young adults. Check this out. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Eric Kotap. I was born in Calcutta, India, and adopted into a family in Midland, Michigan. I was about 6 months of age. I've grown up here my whole life and been a part of this church since I was very young. I was about 6 years old when I asked my grandfather. He talked to me about accepting Jesus into my heart. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and change me, and he did in a really radical way. Over several years, I my attitude changed a lot from a very coarse person and very introverted person to a much more happy person and outgoing. He's used me in a lot of awesome ways through music, and recently God's called me to do an internship this year and to do online ministry schooling. And about a year or two ago, Jesus had put on my heart baptism, and baptism is an outward expression of to the public of new life, of putting away the old life that you had and to be reborn again in Jesus Christ, to deepen my walk in faith with Jesus. That's why I want to be baptized and why I want to be able to take the next step and grow deeper with Jesus.
Just taking this next step towards Jesus and your pursuit of Him, and it's been so awesome. I know, being raised in the church here, I'm assumed for many out here to say, watching you take this next step, they remember you younger, and now they see you heading towards Jesus at a different level. So because of your public profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Libby, I didn't really grow up in a home that had an established faith, and I didn't really know what the whole thing was about. I was really unsure of all of it and kind of skeptical, actually. Before I came to a relationship with Christ, I was really not in the right crowd, kind of not confident in myself and the things I did. I'm not proud of the things I was a part of and did and said and the way I acted as a person. My friend Sarah and my friend Eric invited me to Thrive, and I was really scared to go, and they said it was fine and it's just totally fun, and I was like, okay. So I went, and it totally was fun. And Pastor Keith said, is there anyone who hasn't accepted God into their heart? Is there anyone that wants to? And I raised my hand and I said the prayer, started to take my relationship seriously, and things in my life began to change. I began to pursue Him and just actively seek His word and His will for my life. And He changed things. I became a lot more confident in myself and the things I did every day. I was happier as a person. I was way more outgoing. I changed the friends I had in my life and the relationships I had to things that I'm proud of and want to talk about, and the people I want to be a part of my life. So the reason I'm getting baptized today is just an outward expression of my faith and telling people this is who I am, and I'm excited for the future and what's to come, and I'm excited for God's will for my life.
It's awesome watching you take steps forward towards Jesus and ultimately seeing others who have influenced you in your life have brought you to this place. And really, that's what following Jesus is all about. It's about Him changing us and then us going out and being used to influence and change others. And so proud of you for making this decision, and so excited for this next step that you're taking. And because of your public profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now that's exciting. We see people taking their next step in their walk with the Lord. I love it. And as we move into the future, this is my heart, is that we will continue to be a church that helps people take their next steps. I envision a church where unbelievers can take their next step by safely asking questions and exploring the claims of Christ. I envision a church where people of all ages and all levels are welcomed, encouraged, and challenged to take their next step. Where new believers can connect with other followers of Jesus, where believers are inspired to spend time in God's inspired word, where everyone can find a place to serve in the ministry, where we live life to the fullest by honoring the King, experiencing our next step, and influencing our world. And next week, I want to talk with you about that third piece, influencing your world. You're going to hear three different stories of people from this congregation that are doing just that. It's going to be awesome. My prayer is that as we head out, even this morning, that God will already be downloading some things into our heart of the things that he would have us to do to take our next step in our walk with him, in our relationship with him, in our relationship with others as well. And what I like to do is ask the elders to come if they would, and to stand here at the front. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for you, and we'll stand. And those of you that need to leave, you're welcome to do that. But if there are any of you that are here and you're saying, you know what, I'm ready to take my next step. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ into my life. We want the opportunity to pray with you. There might be some of you that have a question about your next step. We want to pray with you. Or some of you might just have different needs that are in your life for healing, an issue that you're struggling with, or someone else that you know that needs prayer. We would love the opportunity to pray for you. Would you please stand?
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next step, visit our website at cccmidland.com.